All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Samech 60. We are picking up Nun Tes Amud Beis 59b by the Mishnah. A lot to do today, a lot of really beautiful Gemara today. Says the Gemara, remember again yesterday we read the Mishnah, that a person should not create windows that open up into a jointly owned chatzar. So asks the Gemara, my area the chatzar, shotunav the chatzar chavero, nami, nami lo. So Gemara says, I don't understand. Why is the Mishnah setting up the case that you can't open up windows into a chatzar shutzvan, into a jointly owned chatzar? The truth is, even if it's not a jointly owned chatzar, even if I'm a next door neighbor to someone, I also can't open up windows into a chatzar that neighbors someone else. To which the Gemara says, Lomi Bayi Kamar. Well, so Lomi Bayi is a stylistic approach that the Gemara often employs, where the Gemara says, I'm going to say this, and I don't even need to say this. Let me buy the chatzar chaver delo. So we'll say it goes without saying that I cannot open up windows from my home into the chatzar of my friend. Aval the chatzar shutzim, but I would have said, we'll say into a jointly owned chatzar, I would have thought that I could open up windows. Why? The amalei sof sof haboyz itstanuye mine bechatzar. Because we'll say I could have said to my co-owner the following: look, you always had a co-owner in this circumstance. In other words, that you never had unimpeded use in this chatzar. You were always going to have to literally hide yourself. In other words, it's not like you enjoyed privacy at all from the beginning. So now opening up additional windows from my home into the chatzar does not further compromise your experience. Kamash malan d'amrlei. Therefore, again, the Mishnah teaches me that no, even in a chatzar shutzvan, even in a jointly owned chatzar, one party cannot open up additional windows into the chatzar, because the other party could say, "Damarle ata idna bechatzar haba ba'ina itstanuye minach." Up until now, before you had windows, so I knew that when I was in the chatzar, I had to go ahead and be mindful of my activities. In other words, I realized that I did not have privacy and I had to be mindful of myself. Hashda afilu babayis nami ba'ina itstanuye minach. But now that you have windows, I'm going to have to be careful to hide or to shield my activities from you, even when I'm in my home. Well, so now, what you're going to see is the common theme in this Gemara is that the more openings that a person has towards the chatzar of another, the more time they spend peering into the property of another. That's the assumption the Gemara makes over here. So therefore, again, let's say what the neighbor says is like this: you know, when you had no windows looking into my property, so I knew that when you were outside, so I had to be careful. In other words, I was careful with what activities I would engage in the chatzar. Now that you have windows, that means you're going to be looking into my property the whole time, and not only do I have to be vigilant when I'm in my chatzar, but what? I have to be vigilant even when I'm in my home. Therefore, Rabbi Osai, the halacha is that even in a chatzar shutfin, one partner could block the other one from opening up additional windows. Tan Rabbanan, ma'aseh ba'adam echad shepachas chalonos. Of the chatzar shutfin, there was once an episode with a man who opened his windows into a jointly owned field. Uba lifnei Rabbi Yishmael, and he came before Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi. Amar lo, hechzakta b'ni hechzakta. So Rabbi Yishmael said, listen, you made a chazaka. So if you look at the Rashbam says, what's the case over here? Hechzakta. Savrla la'alter havye chazaka. Techeivan debifaneinu hechzik. Vishasak im isa delo b'rishos asa hayolim chosebosei. Now, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion was the following. Rabbi Shmuel assumes that, in fact, the partner who built the windows established an immediate chazaka. Why? It didn't take 3 years. Because if indeed your partner or your neighbor was averse to the construction of these windows, then what? Then he would have voiced something immediately. The fact that he did not voice something immediately gives you automatic and immediate chazaka. So Rabbi Chiya, the same man came before Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya said, Yagata upasachta, Yagata yagea visasum. Just like you toiled and you opened the windows, I have advice to you, toil and close up the windows. In other words, that lemaisa, again, first of all, Rabbi Chiya was saying was, there's no chazaka up until 3 years, and within those 3 years, your neighbor objected. Therefore, lemaisa, again, you have to go and close up the windows. Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, Tap of Samech Amud Alf Rabbi Osai, Belistom la'altar havye chazaka, she'in adam asoy she'sosmin oro b'fana b'shosin. Now, Rabbi Osai, listen to this case. If Reuben were to open up a window, and Shimon were to erect a wall right by that window, right? Shimon were to open up that wall right by that window and to go ahead and block off the window essentially, and the person who built the window, Reuven, were not to say anything, then Rabbi Osai, that indicates that what? that indicates that Reuven accepts the fact that his window was built illegally, and therefore does not contest Shimon's building of the wall. Why? Because Rosa, the assumption is that a person does not remain silent if someone else blocks their daylight. So the fact that Reuven has a daylight blocked and he does not say anything indicates to us what? That he understands that the building of his window was illegal, and therefore Shimon's wall is legal, and Reuven has no recourse but to accept the wall. Fine. We'll say if a person went ahead and purchased a home. So we'll say in this case over here, I'm a partner with Reuven in Chatzar A, and I buy a home in Chatzar B. Now, the way it works is Chatzar A and Chatzar B are next to each other. So that technically speaking, you could go from my home from Chatzar B into Chatzar A. And I have rights of passage, obviously, in both Chatzeros. So the halacha says, the Mishnah is, if I'm living in Chatzar B, I can't go ahead and allow my home to be accessed as a form of passage to Chatzar A. I could go into Chatzar A because I'm a shutuf there, but I can't allow access to others. My time, what's the reason? B'mnei shemar ba'aleim es haderech. Because Rabbi says you are increasing the flow of pedestrian traffic. Eima seifa. Rabbi says, but 1 second, let's look at the end. What does the end say? Ela imratza bona sachedra lifnim mi beso, ubona aliyo al gabe beso, v'alo marbe alav es hadech. Rabbi says, but we learned in the Mishnah that if I want to add on an extra story to my home, or I want to add on an extra room, thereby increase the number of people who are going to live in my home, that's what? That Lamaisa, I'm permitted to do that. Aye, but is that not increasing pedestrian traffic? To which the Rosh will say something very interesting. Am Rav Huna, my cheder, shechalku b'shnayim. Umay aliyah afesois. Rav Huna says, Rav say, what's the case where the Mishnah says I'm adding on an extra room to my home? I'm adding on an extra room to my home where I'm taking one room and I'm splitting it into two. What does it mean that I'm adding an extra story? I had very tall ceilings, and so I added a floor in between my floor and the ceiling, thereby creating an extra floor. So both, in other words, what I've done is, I've increased the occupancy of my home without increasing the size of my home. So both say, what the Gemara is saying is something fascinating. Apparently, even in the times of the Gemara, you had like, I guess for lack of a better term, like neighborhood associations. So, you know, and even have this now, where in certain neighborhoods, you can't do certain things to your home without getting consent from the neighborhood association. So we'll say Chatzeros used to have this same dynamic. So in a Chatzer, if you wanted to put on an addition to your home, you needed the Vad, you needed the neighborhood Vad to go ahead and sign off on that. But what you could do, we'll say, is you could subdivide the existing structure, and for that, you would not need any type of approval. So if you want to take a large bedroom, make it into two. If you want to take a room with high ceilings and make that into literally two levels, that you could do on your own without getting the approval of the Chatzar committee, the Chatzar board. Then you could do that. And it will say, it increases occupants, or I should say, it increases pedestrian traffic. That's fine. There's no cap as to the number of people that I could have living in my home. As long as those people reside in my original home, then Lamaisa, there's no cap, and no one could complain that I'm increasing pedestrian traffic. Very interesting. Says the Mishnah, Lo yiftach adam l'chatzar ha-shutfin, Pesach k'neged Pesach, v'chalon k'neged chalon. We'll say, it's actually a very beautiful halacha. A person, if he's living in the same chatzar as someone else, cannot align his doorway with the doorway of another. So you can't have your doorway open up opposite your friend's doorway, the chalon k'neged chalon, nor should you have your windows open opposite your friend's windows. So we'll say, we'll discuss why. Haya katan lo ya'asenu gadol. Similarly, if the doorway or the window was, we'll go with the doorway, if the doorway was small, you should not make it large. So echad lo ya'asenu shnayim. If ultimately, again, it was one doorway, you can't make it into two. Aval poseach hu l'rishus harabim pesach, can I get pesach? V'chalon, can I get chalon? But I will say, if at the end of the day there's rishus harabim, and I live across the way, meaning imagine for a moment, I live on one side of the public thoroughfare, and Reuven lives on the other side. I will say, not the length, but the width. So we live across the street from each other, right? So again, so two people live on Park Heights Avenue. Not that that's really Rosh Hashanah, but okay, but let's assume for a moment right now it's more of Rosh Hashanah. So right, one person lives on one side of the road, one person lives on the other side of the road. We'll say, in that case, the halacha is, we could align our windows opposite each other, we could align our doors opposite each other, and we'll discuss why that is. Haya katan osa osa gadol. Similarly, again, if I had a small doorway, I could make it a larger doorway. The echad osa osa shnayim. Or if it's one doorway, I can make it into two doorways. says the Gemara, how do I know that when constructing a home, I am not permitted to make my windows opposite my friends, my neighbor's windows, and my doorway opposite my friend's doorway? So we'll say, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Dama Krad, we'll say, how beautiful this is. Vayisa Bilam es inov, vayar es yisrael shochin the shvatov. Bilam went ahead and lifted his eyes, and he saw the Jewish people camping according to their tribes. Ma'ra'a. So we'll say, so remember again, this is where Bilam says, Matovu ohalecha Yaakov, mishkinosecha Yisrael. Matovu ohalecha Yaakov. Look how wonderful, how good your tents are, Yaakov. So Gemara says, Bilam, what did you see? What was so good about their tents? So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, sorry. So, Ma'ra'a. He saw both sides that their entranceways were not aligned one opposite the other. In other words, both sides, in other words, from on a basic level, what he saw was that there was an incredible level of tznius, an incredible level of modesty. You know, if two homes have doors opposite, that run opposite each other, so if both people are technically opening their doors at the same time, they can see into each other's home, or they're both coming out at the same time, you can see into the other person's home. It's not sanua to be able to see into another person's home, because people conduct all types of private activities within their home. Bilam saw that even in the desert, in the temporary dwellings, the Jews were careful to arrange their tents in such a way that the doorways did not open opposite each other. He saw this Amr Ruuyin Halalu Shatishra Aleim Shchina. People like this, Rabbi Osai, who are so concerned about tznius, not just about their own modesty, but about preserving the modesty of the other, people like this ultimately, again, are roi. They are fit that the Shchina should ultimately dwell among them. Osai, I'll tell you something beautiful that I saw about this. There's brought down in the Matzudas David, he actually says, also, what does it mean, Shalo Asu Pischem Zukinegidu, that didn't do their drawers opposite each other? So we'll say, listen to how beautiful this is. So the Ma'ar Vashemesh brings down, he says, you know, the Gemara tells us that the man used to fall by the doorsteps of the Jews. But the Gemara also says, it was said, depending on your level of piety, so that determined the proximity of the man to your doorstep. So if you are very pious, then the man fell at your doorstep. You know, if you're not so pious, it was at the curb. If you are really in trouble, you know, you had to put on your shoes and, you know, tell your family you're back in a couple of hours. But Lamaisa, again, where your personal level of piety was remember, just as an aside, that's why, by the way, Klal Yisrael complains about the man. Why don't you remember again, Klal Yisrael says to Moshe, Nafshini Yavesha, we don't want this bread anymore. How can you not want man? How can you not want man? Let's see, understand it, because it's very heavy to get spiritual feedback from God every single day. It's very heavy to wake up in the morning, right, with anxiety, wondering, oh boy, where is the man today? And what's going to happen? You know, the Schwartzes, their man is always by their front door every single day, right? And what's going to happen with me? Where am I going to go? It's very, you know, I'm serious, it's very anxiety provoking. That's why, again, you know, we get away with a lot of stuff because we do not get constant feedback from the Ribono Shel Olam. Man was the constant feedback from HaKadosh Baruch Hu about how you're doing each and every day of your life. That's a hard life to lead. So anyway, so the Ma'ar Vashem says so beautifully, so what does it mean? Shalo asu pischeya zu kineged zu. What does it mean that they didn't put their doorways one opposite the other? So I said that they shouldn't be embarrassed one in front of the other every morning. This way, again, I don't see where your man is. You don't see where my man is. And ultimately, there's no embarrassment of the other. Bilam says the Ma'ar Vashemesh, Bilam says, a people who are so sensitive to the feelings, to the needs of the other, that's a people, Sheru'uyin halolu shetishra shchina b'neim. When you have a sensitivity, an empathy, a concern for the other, then you're fit to have the Shekhinah rest upon you. Beautiful idea. There's not more to say about it, but we'll go back there. Hayakatan lo yasana gadol. If the doorway was small, you should not enlarge it. Sovereign Ibrahim Lameimar Bas Dalol Shavi Bas Timnia. So Ibrahim originally thought what it meant is if the doorway is Dalaramis, Rabbi said you can't increase it to 8. Rabbi said, now understand, we learned this before, that For every doorway of Dalet Amis, for every door of Dalet Amis, you get Dalet Amis in the Chotzer, right? Because we also remember again, let's say if there's a jointly owned chatzar, so the way that chatzar works is the following. Let's say you were to force a division of the chatzar. Everyone first gets dalet amos corresponding to their doorways. After everybody gets their doorway dalet amos, then you go ahead and you divide up the rest. So I might have to remember originally that what the Mishnah was teaching was the following. That if you have one doorway, you can't create another doorway in your chatzar. Why? Because lamais, at the end of the day, that entitles you to more chatzar property. And you can't take that from the rest of the inhabitants of the chatzar. To which the Gemara says, aval bar tarti, l'shavye bar arba, shaper dami. But if you have a doorway, say that was two amos, and you want to make it into four amos, then that's fine. Why? Because they both say, no matter how thin or wide the doorway is, everyone is entitled to dalet amos. Even for argument's sake, if you only have a doorway that's two amos, you still get dalet amos of chatzar space. So therefore, if I want to take a doorway that's two and make it into four, that should be fine. Amalei Rava, no. Rava said no. Matzi amalei bepischa zutra matzina litztenuye minach bepischa rabba lo matzina litztenuye minach. I can't do that. I will say even if it's two, I can't make it into four. Why? Because my neighbor can say the following: listen, when you had a narrow doorway, I could conceal my activities from you. Now that you have a larger doorway than what I will say, I can't, right? There's more room for you to see it. We'll say again, or working under the assumption that the more room a person has to peer into the property of the other, the more they're going to take advantage of that opportunity. So when you had a doorway of two amos, I was able to hide my activities a little bit more. Now that it's for us, we'll say, you also see from here how careful a person has to be to preserve the privacy of another. You know, very often, it's beautiful when we live, you know, in concentrated Jewish areas. Baruch Hashem, it's a big zuchus. You have Jewish neighbors, you have chavirim, you have all these things. And of course, there's like a camaraderie that exists. But a person also has to be careful to be very makbid on preserving the privacy and the tznius of the other. Because again, a person's home is their private domicile. A person's home is the one place they have in life that, you know, life is a reshus harabim. The only Rosh Hashanah you have in this world is your home. So you must sensitize this. Well, so you know, in every halacha, there's always hashkafa. So it's teaching us the halachas, but the hashkafa of this is that a person wants privacy in their home. A person wants an element of Rosh Hashanah in their home, and it's important for everyone around them to be respectful of that. Echad lo yasenu shnayim. Well, I say, if it's one, you can't make it into two. So we'll say, if you have one doorway, you can't make it into two doorways. So Rabbi Chaim originally thought that what that meant is, if you have one doorway of dalet amos, you can't make a second doorway. Lo l'shavye b'nei trei b'nei tarti. Tikas shakol tamni b'chatzar. You can't make two smaller doorways of two amos and two amos. Because we'll say again, remember, you're going to be claiming extra chatzar space. Because for every doorway you get dalet amos, you now will claim eight amos in the chatzar. Aval bar tamni. But we'll say if you have a doorway that is already eight, l'shavye b'nei arba shapir dami. Then we'll say if I have one doorway that's eight amos, why can't I make it into two smaller doorways that are four amos each? Amrle Rava, because Gina Bosei Rava keeps saying, Matzi Amrle, Bechad Pischa Matzina Tzenoe Minach. With one doorway, I could hide myself from you. In other words, I could conceal myself from you. Betray Lomatzini Tzenoe Minach. But now that you have two doors, Bosei, then what, even when one is closed, the other is open, and you're always going to be peering into my property. Aval posea chulush surabim pesach kineged pesach. But I will say, all of these halachas, that you can't make a window opposite your friend's window, or your doorway opposite your friend's doorway, only apply in the chatzar. But if we're living across the surabim from one another, then what? Then I can make windows opposite windows, doorways opposite doorways. Why is that? Says the Gemara. Damarlei, sof, habois itztanu yibimnei yush surabim. Because I will say, if your home opens up into the Rosh Hashanah, you already have to conceal yourself from all of the pedestrian traffic. My window or my door opposite the Rosh Hashanah or on the other side of the Rosh Hashanah has no additional impact. Meaning, whatever measures you are taking to preserve your privacy are not impacted by me having a window or me having a doorway that opens opposite your home. Mishnah, in osin chal takas Rosh Hashanah borim sichin ma'aros. So what's this interesting halacha? Mishnah says, you cannot dig in Rosh Hashanah. So let's say I want to excavate Rosh Hashanah. Don't ask why, but you know, whatever the mitzvah is, I need dirt. Right? So what happens? I need dirt. So here's what I want to do. I want to take dirt from the Rosh Hashanah. Now, I understand I cannot go ahead and make a huge hole in Rosh Hashanah. We learned about that extensively. That's bar. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to excavate the dirt. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to put some type of... cover. Thank you. Some type of cover on top of the Rosh Sarabim, so that, again, my excavations, my digging, do not impact the flow of traffic. People could travel unimpeded. The Tanakhama says, you can't do it. You can't do it. Enos in Chalot HaRosh Sarabim, Baruch Sikhli Ma'aros. Rabbi Elazar Matir, Kedesh HaTe'agol HaMa'alech HaSitun HaVan. Rabbi Elazar says, you can do it, as long as what? As long as the covering you put on is strong enough that a wagon filled with stones is able to pass over it. In other words, that, as long as, Uri, there's a seat for you up here. You come with your father up here. Hey, so shalom aleichem. So now, so again, what happens over here? So Rabbi Elazar says, as long as the cover is strong enough, that lamaisa, you can go ahead and take a wagon laden with stones and drive over the cover, then that is enough. So the Gemara says, weiter. So in motzien zizin u gustrot u sarabim. So we'll say you can't go ahead and allow beams or other protrusions to go. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Or to protrude into the sarabim. Elim rotz according to the sarabim. This is very important halacha. You can't have things from your property protrude into the sarabim. Right? Just a simple idea. You can't have beams or other things protrude. But what can you do? Ela imrotza. I will say, if you want some protrusions, what can you do? Konis l'soch shalo. You could move your walls of your property back. Umotzi. And then I will say, you could extend the protrusions. Technically, you're extending them into your own property. But in other words, if you want, you can move your property markers back and ultimately allow the protrusions to occur that way. Lakach chatzer uba gizin ugustros. But I will say, if you purchase the property and that property has beams which extend into the Rosh HaSarabim, then what? Harei zubeches kasa. Then I will say, ultimately, again, you have a chazakah. And I will say, this is actually a very interesting halacha. So what I'm saying over here is the following. If I'm living in my property, I can't extend beams into the Rosh HaSarabim. But if I bought a property that already has existing protruding beams, then what? Then I have a right to go out and continue to use that, assuming that there is a chazakah for this use. Now take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. The Rashbam says, Harezu b'cheskasa, it's about five lines up from the bottom, Harezu b'cheskasa, the ta'anin l'lokech v'omrim, emor konis l'sok shalo, haya, aval amochra lo, shahotzi azizin, hu haya tzarech lahavi edim shekinis l'sok shalo, essentially, again, what we assume is when you buy a property that already has these existing protrusions, we assume that the owner did his chazaka, the owner did his thing. In other words, when you purchase as Israel, say you are permitted to assume that there is a chazaka for the current usage of the property. Fine. Gemara goes weiter. Rabbanan. So again, remember, first machlokis and Mishnah was, I want to excavate dirt in the Sarabim, but I'm willing to place a cover over the hole. And again, I'm willing to place a very sturdy cover. So Rabbi Elazar says, fine, as long as it's sturdy enough that a wagon laden with stones could drive over it, you're good to go. The Rabbanan say, even with that, you can't do it. Why not? Says the Gemara Rabbanan. Zinin the mifchis falavadaite. So I want to say, sometimes that cover will erode, and you won't even be aware of it. As well say, what we're concerned about is that you're not going to be vigilant with the ongoing upkeep of the cover. So the Gemara goes back to in motzin gizin ugusteros. Rabbi Ami habile ziza davin nafik lemuvah. So Rabbi Ami was listening to this ma'isa. Rabbi Ami had a protrusion. He had a ziza. He had a beam that extended from his property into the Rosh Hashanah, into a mavoi. Vahu gabra. There was another guy, we'll just call him Guy, who went ahead and had a beam that extended from his property into the Rosh Hashanah. But what happened? We'll say the public, whoever the Rosh Hashanah are, they were upset at this guy that his beam was protruding into the Rosh Hashanah. I have to understand. Without getting into all the details over here, the Rashbam brings down that, remember, again, beam protruding is not necessarily at a significant height. It could also be at a regular height in which it interferes with the flow of traffic, interferes with animals. So therefore, again, they're upset at this guy for his beam protruding into Rosh Hashanah. So the guy came before Rabbi Ami, Amar Lei Zil Kot. Rabbi Ami says, you have to cut down the beam. Well, it's the shy, cut down the beam. If the Rosh Sarabim are complaining about it, you have to cut it down. So this is a little bit of chutzpah. Amalei, v'ha mar nami islei, Rabbi Ami, you also have a protruding beam, right? People in protruding beams shouldn't throw stones, right? You know, so, you know, what are you going at and telling me that I have to cut back my beam? You have a beam that protrudes as well. So the Gemara says, Didi, lemavua mafik, bnei mavua machalin gaboy. The dach sarabim mafik, man machal gaboch. Mine extends into a mavui. I have the reshus of the people. So I will say, the bnei mavui are a defined population. Therefore, I can get their mechila. I can ask them for their, permission, and they could, I can ask them for their reshus, and they could give me their reshus. You are in Rosh Sarabim. There is no defined population called the Rabbim that can give you reshus to keep it there. Therefore, if you're getting complaints, you have to remove it. Let's listen to this. Rabbi Yanai Havale Ilan Hanot Rosh Sarabim. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Yanai had a tree that was in his property, but that extended into the Rosh Sarabim. Havahu Gavra, the Havale Nami Ilan Hanot Rosh Sarabim. So what's this? What happened? There was another guy who also had a tree, and his tree also extended into the public thoroughfare. And what happens? Rabbi Yanai Rosh Hashanah came along and said to this guy, we don't want your tree extending into the Sarabim. So we'll say, Rabbi Yanai has a tree extending in, no one's bothering him. This other guy has a tree and they're telling him you need to cut back your branches. So let's look at Rabbi Yanai. So we'll say, the guy comes to Rabbi Yanai again for a Psak Halacha. Amrlai, so let's listen to this. So Rabbi Yanai says to him, Zit of Samich Amad Beis, Zil Ha'idna, V'salamachar. You know what? Do me a favor. Come back tomorrow. So I said, what happened that night? Balayla shadar kasi lahudi day. That night, Rabbi Yanai sent a guy to cut back his tree. Right? That night, he sent a guy to cut the branches from his tree that were extending into the Shazarat. So I said, what happens? Lamachar, asala kame. So the next day, so the guy comes back to Rabbi Yanai, and what happens? So Lamachar, asa de amrle zil coats. So Rabbi Yanai says to the guy, listen, you need to cut back your branches. To which the guy says, Amrle, ha mar nami islay, Rebbe, you'll excuse me. And I mean no disrespect. You know, whenever a conversation starts like that, right? You know, I mean no disrespect, but don't you have a tree that also extends to Rabbi? To which Rabbi Yanai says, Amrle, zil chazi. You know what? Why don't you go take a look? Here's the deal. He coats didi, coats didach. Let's do it like this. If my tree is cut back, you'll cut back your tree. He low cuts DD, low tacos at, right? And if my tree is not cut back, then your tree is not cut back. And I was saying, yes, you're right, I have a tree, and I've remedied it. And you'll see that I've remedied my tree. So just like I've remedied my tree, you should remedy your tree. To which the Gemara is supposed to say something amazing. Now here's the shy the Gemara has. Meikara my suffer, labasov my suffer. So we'll say, Rabbi Yanai knew the halacha. So why did he allow his tree to extend into the Rishus HaRabim to begin with? Right? So meaning, meikara my suffer means, what was he thinking in the beginning of this Maisa where he allowed his tree to go ahead and be cut back? And what was he thinking at the end? In other words, we'll say, what was he thinking at the end? Meikara savar, nechaluhu lebnei Rosh Hashanah diyaseh betulei. So we'll say, in the beginning, he actually thought that having my branches of my tree grow into the Rosh Hashanah is a service for the public. What's the service, we'll say? It's a shady area. You know, Shurabim didn't necessarily have a lot of shade, so this provided shade for the Shurabim, and I actually figured that as a service to the general populace. However, Kevon, the Chazat to Kama Akvi, Shadar Katsye. That was at the end of the day when he heard people complaining about this other guy's tree, then he realized that what? That he was wrong, and that his tree was not really as much of a service as it was a detriment or an impediment to Shurabim, therefore he had to cut back. Now, Basin, I watched this discussion. So says the Gemara, "Valei malei zil kotz tidach v'hadir akotz tidi." But why did Rabbi Yanai feel compelled to first cut back his tree before telling the other guy to cut back his tree? In other words, why couldn't Rabbi Yanai say, "Listen, you know what? Listen, here's a psak halacha guy. You have to cut back your tree, and I realize also I have to cut back my tree." Remember, he purposely tells the guy to come back the next day in order that he has time to go ahead and first cut back his tree. Why did he have to do that? Bosei is an amazing yisod. Mishum v'Reish Lakish. Because Reish Lakish. Because what is Reish Lakish? See, Rabbosei, Reish Lakish quotes the pasuk from Tzefanya. His koshishu v'koshu. Now, his koshishu v'koshu, Rabbosei, literally means, if you look at the Rashbam says, his koshishu haser kash mi bein einecha. Remove the chaff from your eyes. Which we darshan to mean, his koshishu v'koshu kshot atzmecha v'acharkach kshot achirim. First, Rabbosei, fix yourself, and then afterwards you could fix others. Whereas what the Navi is saying is koshishu v'koshu, that go ahead and remove the chaff from yourself and then remove the chaff from others, which we'll say is another way of saying that before you instruct others about how to improve themselves, before you give people instruction about how to improve themselves, before you give people hadracha or musr or life direction, make sure that you are first following your own advice. Shulsa is a very profound yisod, which essentially, it could be, meaning on a most basic level, people, we know this in life, you know, when you get advice from someone who you know clearly is not following the very advice that they are giving you, even if it's objectively good advice, right? Even objectively good advice, it's very difficult to actually absorb because they say, come on, you're not doing this yourself. So on the most basic level, if you want to be able to dispense advice, make sure that you're following your own advice. But more than that, what the Gemara is saying is, you know, before you try to fix others, and before you try to fix the world, the first stop on the journey of life is fixing one's self. First fix yourself. Then you can figure out how to help others fix themselves. Kshot atzmecha, v'achar kach kshot achim. An incredible yisod. And even though Rabbi Yonai Rabosei would have been absolutely right, Rabbi Yonai was a gadol, right? He's one of the Gedolei Hador. He could have said to the guy, listen, cut back your tree. I, Rabbi Yonai, you have a tree. You know, it's only a business. It's only a business. I'll take care of my business. Rabbi Yonai understood that in order to model the right behavior, he first had to fix himself, and then ultimately, again, he could go about fixing the world. An incredible yisod. Aval imratz according to Sok Shalom Motzi. So we'll say, but remember again, as much as you can't have any protrusions into the Rishus HaRabim, if you want, you could move back your property line and protrude things that way. So you can have things protruding from the edge of your property, but they're not going into the Rishus HaRabim. Ibailu, let's listen to this case. Hotzi, Kanas, L'Sof Shalom, I'm sorry, Ibailu, Kanas V'lo Hotzi, Maushi Yachsu V'yatsu. Let's listen to this. Let's say I do the following. So I want to have beams protruding from my property. I know I can't have it from Rishus HaRabim, so what do? I move back my property markers. And then I decide against going ahead and doing the protrusions. So now I'll say, what's the Shaila? Can I move back my walls back to where they once were? We'll say, the Shaila I play over here is the following. If you take your property dividers, we'll call it your walls, and you move them back, does that effectively mean that you have ceded that property to the Rishus HaRabim? Or not. If you've effectively ceded it, then if you decide to move the property walls back, you can't move them back because you've already given that to Rishus HaRabim. Alternatively, if I haven't ceded it, then what? When I choose not to protrude things, I can go ahead and move the walls back. So it says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kanas Umotzi. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if you move the walls back, right, meaning you receded the walls, you can move them back to their original place. Reish Lakish Amar Kanas in the Mosi. Reish Lakish says, no, once you went ahead and you moved the walls in, you cannot reclaim that property anymore because you have effectively ceded it to the Rishus HaRabim. Says the Gemara, Amar Le Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Taklifa, Asaz Asbara Locha, Lehotzi Kuli Amalo Pligi Demotzi. So we'll say at the end of the day, everybody agrees that at the end of the day, you are permitted to go ahead and do the protrusions. So take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. The Rashbam says, actually, no, not yet. So, however, where to the argument? Ki pligi, lahakser ksalim koman. So what's the machlokas? The machlokas is, can you go ahead and actually return the walls back to their original place? The ipcha itmar. In fact, they recorded the same conversation the opposite way. Rabbi Yochanan amar ino machzir, Reish Lakish amar machzir. Rabbi Yochanan says, you cannot return the walls to their original place. Reish Lakish says, you can. Rabbi Yochanan amar ino machzir, mishum de Rabbi Yehuda. Dan Rabbi Yehuda, meter shech ziko bo rabim, aser lekalkalo, because what Rabbi Yehuda says, they will say, once you have a strip of land that the rabbim have laid claim to, you cannot go ahead and destroy that. Veish lakish amar machzir, hani milihecha deika deleka rabcha, haka hacha haika rabcha. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokes, Veish lakish says, I'm sorry, Reish Lakish says that you can return the walls. Why? Because when do we say once the public has laid claim to a piece of land, the individual owner cannot reclaim it? That's only when there is no other way for the public to go ahead and access the road. Then once the public started using it, you, individual owner, cannot reclaim it. But if the public has other ways in which to travel, then halach alamayis, again, you can reclaim land. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokis over here, as to if you, not withdraw, but if you, what's the right word?
Setback.
set back. Okay, good. If you set back your property lines, you move back your property wall with the intention, you're doing that for a purpose, because you want to extend stuff, you want to have beams extending, then you decide against it. Can you put the walls back at the original border of the property?
Don't I own the property?
I'm sorry.
I own the property.
That's the shaila. The shaila is the act of moving the walls back, effectively an act of ceding.
But I don't have land in front of it?
No, that's the shaila. Meaning, once I move back my walls, have I effectively yielded that ownership to the Rosh Hashanah? And that's the fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The nafkamina is, if I choose against extending the beams, can I just simply move back the wall to its original base? So we'll say, how do we pass on this? So, I'm sorry?
You're in the chatzar.
I'm in my chatzar. I'm in, correct. But again, I'm in a chatzar that my part abuts the Rosh Hashanah. So for example, imagine I have a backyard in the chutzner. So now I've moved the wall of my backyard hits up against the Sarabim. I've moved back my wall. So this doesn't impact the other people in the chutzner. It only impacts my property. So we'll say, so listen to this. So the Shulchan Aruch says following. This is in Choshen Mishpat, Taf Yud Zayin Siv Beis. Ein motzien zizin ugustros rosh hasarabim, ela imkein hayu lemalam igamov rochbo. For who shall yapi la derach al rosh is fine. So we'll say, first of all, Shulchan Aruch says, you cannot extend the beams into the rosh hasarabim. You cannot extend the beams. The only thing you can do is, unless of course they're so high that they wouldn't even touch a camel and its rider. So we'll say, if you're putting it so high that mamash, it doesn't impact anything, then fine, you could do it. Vimratza konis lo shalomotzi. Listen to this. Let's say again, you chose to move in your walls. You chose to move in your walls in order to extend beams. But then you decided against extending the beams. Harei zemotzi kol man sheyirtze. Aval eino yochol lahachzir haksalim komon le'olam. Once you move your walls, you cannot move the walls back. Why? This is a very specific case. This case over here is where my property is abutting the Rosh Hashanah. It's a very specific case. Meaning, if I have just a neighbor and I move my walls back, I can move my walls back whenever I want. This is my Rosh Hashanah. Right? So in the public domain, once I move my walls back, I've effectively yielded that property to the Rosh Hashanah. Also a calculo. Because we'll say, once the rabbim have taken over a particular area, you cannot take it back. Now the Ramah qualifies this and he says, Hagov dafka v'makom shirabim dar simba. Now we'll say, this is assuming that what's happened, once I pull the walls back, there is spillover pedestrian traffic from the shirabim. In other words, we'll say, if I pull the walls back and no one's using it, meaning, again, this plenty of room for Shazarabim, no one's accessing it, then I do have the right to move the wall back. But if I've moved the wall back, and effectively, this has now become part of the Rosh Hashanah, which I will say makes sense. If I have a property that abuts the Rosh Hashanah, and I move my wall back, chances are, over time, the Rosh Hashanah is going to begin to use that property. Once they've begun to use it, I do not have the ability to reclaim it. I will say that, indeed, is halacha lemaisa. Let's go back there.
Look at chatzar. If you move your wall back to put your beams, and it becomes a
No. So remember, this is talking about a case where you didn't put the beams. This is where you didn't put the beams. Right? If you put the beams, then it's clear that you're still accessing that property. You have not yielded it to Shram. This is a specific case where you pulled the wall back with the intention to put out the beams. You didn't put out the beams. The rabbin have started to use it. You now decided against the beam project. You want to move your walls back to where they were. Halacha says you cannot. Once the rabbin has started to use it, you cannot go ahead and put your walls back where they were. Says the Gemara. So remember again, the Mishnah said that if I bought a home, and that home already had beams that extended into Rosh Hashanah, essentially, I assume that the owner established chazaka, however he did that, and there's no shaila sami. In other words, I could keep the home and use it as is. Says the Gemara, Amravuna, Nafla Chozer Bono. So we'll say, now here's what's interesting. Ravuna says that even if the home falls down, let's say the home collapses, and now I have to rebuild it, I could rebuild it the same way it was. Even with what? The beams extending into the Sarab. So even if it falls down, I could rebuild it as was with the beams extending. So the Gemara is Akasha. Ein misaidin ve'ein machairin ve'ein mafaychin b'zman hazeh. Both of them are going to get into some zecha l'chorban gemaras. So the halacha is, Baisa says, you cannot plaster and you cannot machairin, the Rashbam brings down. Over here is tsuros shetzar besid. You cannot make different images within the plaster, some type of ornamental images. Ve'in mefayichen, and you can't paint your home bizman hazeh. As well as say, these are all different practices of zecher l'churban. We'll discuss them. However, lakach chatzer misuyedes mechuyeres mefuyachas. But if you bought a chatzer that was already plastered, already had the ornamental images, and was already painted, then I raise the becheskasa. Then I will say you could use it as is. However, nafla, first wide line, eino chozer ubona osa. But I will say if it fell down, right, and you rebuild it, you cannot rebuild it with the plaster, with the ornamental images, or with the painting. So what do you see from here? You see from here, I will say that sometimes if you have a chazaka on something, that's fine when the object is as is. But once it falls down, then the maisa what? That chazak has been lost, and you cannot reestablish that chazak when rebuilding the object. Which the Gemara says, Isur Shani. Rabbos say this is different. Isur is different than Mamon. When it comes to Mamon, Rabbos say, we assume that the original owner had his chazak for keeping the beams extending into Shtarabim, and even if the home falls down and I have to rebuild it, Lemais again, I can rebuild it with the same beams extending. When it comes to an Isur, which Rabbos say, these are Isurim that were generated Zecher L'Churban, so once the home falls down and you're rebuilding it, your rebuilding project is governed by the laws of Zecher L'Churban. Tan Rav Anan, we're going to answer these halachas. We'll say this is a magnificent, magnificent sugya. Magnificent. First wide line. Riveting and magnificent. Tan Rav Anan, lo yasud adam es beso besid. We'll say a person is not permitted to plaster his home with lime. Now we'll say, now what they're talking about over here, this lime was a very bright white coating. According to the home. I will say, now it was considered to be very regal, and very beautiful. So the Gemara is saying is, in the aftermath of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, there are limitations as to the level of beauty with which we construct our homes. So therefore the Gemara says, a person should not go ahead and plaster their home with this beautiful white line. V'im'irei bochol, otelen mutter. But if you mixed in sand, or you mixed in straw, it's mutter. Why? Because I will say, introducing those other items diminishes the brightness of the color. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if you mix in sand, it's worse actually, because everyone knows that sand together with lime actually creates a superior building product. Okay, so you can't mix in the sand, you can only mix in the straw. So what's the Gemara says the following. When the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabu Prushim b'Yisrael. Both said there were a whole group of people who became Prushim. And both said the Prushim were people who wanted to essentially live an ascetic lifestyle, recognizing or reflecting the incredible sadness and loss around the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And what did they decide? They said that shalolech basar v'shalolishtos yayin. They were not going to eat meat, they were not going to drink wine. Nitfa lahen Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua got involved with them, and he said, Amar lahen, bonai, mipnei ma'iyatem ochlen basar ve'inatem shosin yayin. So Rabbi Yehoshua said to them, my sons, why are you not eating meat? Why are you not drinking wine? Amru, they said to Rabbi Shur, Rabbi, nocha basar shemenu makriven agave mizbeach va'achsha batal. How can we eat meat when meat, again, represents the karbonos, and now the mizbeach is dormant? In other words, how can we eat meat when the Ribbono Shel Olam's mizbeach is dormant? Nishta yayin shemenachtzon agave mizbeach. Should we drink wine when wine libations are no longer being poured on the altar? Va'achsha batal. Amru lahem, Rabbi Shur says, well, listen, using that logic, imkein lechem lo nochal, shekvar bit lo menochos. Rabbi Yehoshua says to them, well, if that's the case, you shouldn't eat bread either. Why? Because bread is made from flour, and there's no longer a karban mincha. There are no longer any meal offerings. So they said, fine, we'll eat fruit. Efshar beperos. Rabbi Yehoshua says, no, you can't eat fruit either. Peros lo nochal. Shekvar bitlu bikurim. You can't eat fruit either. Why? Because there's no more bikurim. Efshar beperos echirim. Fine. So they answered, you know what? There are other types too. Because remember, we'll say bikurim only comes from the Shiva Samina, from the seven species. There are plenty of other fruits. We'll eat non bikurim fruit. So Rabbi Yehoshua says, well, if that's the case, mayim lo nishta, you shouldn't drink water. Shekvar bital miso chamayim. Because we'll say the water libation of Sukkis has stopped. So we'll say the point that Rabbi Yehoshua was trying to teach them was what? Was that we have to mourn. We have to mourn. But our mourning can't be extreme. This is Amr Lohem. We'll say, listen to that beautiful. This is Bonai. So we'll say, by the way, do you notice the constant use of the word Bonai? The constant words that they use. We'll say, you know that the greatest way to disagree is to disagree with love. Is if when you disagree in an antagonistic fashion with someone, you're not going to get anywhere with your arguments. Because if you're antagonistic, then you're my enemy. If you're my enemy, I'm going to put up my walls. But if you disagree with love, right? If you disagree with love, Rabbi Yehoshua is saying, he felt these people were doing something really wrong, and they were totally misunderstanding how to observe the Churban. Bonai, my sons, I vehemently disagree with what you're doing, but I love you. And my disagreement with you is out of love. It's not antagonistic. So Bonai, Bo'ov Omer Lachem, Shol his abel kol ikar yefsher. So Rabbi Yoshua says like this: to not mourn at all for the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, that's impossible. Shekvar nigzra gzera. Will this abel yosim that yefsher? But to mourn too much is also not healthy. She'ein gozun gzera ala tzibor. Ele imkein rov hatzibor yichol lama bo dechsev. Ba'me'era atem ne'erim va'osi atem kovim ha'gai kulo. So he says, listen, to not mourn at all, that's not possible. To mourn too much is not possible either, because that's not healthy for the general public. And I'm also saying, and more than that, by the way, that this will become ultimately prohibitions that most people can't endure. But also, what it also means is the following: Judaism has this beautiful dialectic between mourning and movement. That's the dialectic. Mourning and movement. We mourn because our hearts are broken over what we've lost, but we never stop moving. The problem of mourning too much is that you become rooted in place. There's a time for that. That's called Shiva. Shiva is mourning without movement. You're rooted in your loss, and there is no forward life momentum, because you have to reflect on what's been lost. But that's good for 7 days. Afterwards, it's got to be mourning and movement. So, rather, elakachem ruchachem. So, Rabbi Yoshua, here's how we mourn. Sad adam es beiso b'sedu mashay bo davar muat. So, we'll say a person plasters his home, but you should leave a little piece unplastered. V'kama, how much should you leave unplastered? We'll say, Rabbi Yosef, ama al ama. We'll say, you leave one ama by one ama. So, we'll say this, and Shulchan Aruch codifies this halacha l'maisa, that when plastering our homes, that we leave an ama by ama unfinished. So, we'll say, so you're asking yourself, you know, this is codified in Shulchan Aruch. You see this in Eretz Yisrael all of the time. You do not see this in Chutz La'aretz. So, the Aruch HaShulchan others bring down that the truth is this practice has fallen pretty much out of practice, because remember, this was Dafka Adin in Sad Adam Beso Besid. This was a din when they were using this bright white line. Now that we no longer use this bright white line, this din of Amma by Amma, according to the Aruch HaShulchan and others, doesn't apply. Nevertheless, it's again, I always tell people, even if you're not leaving the square of an Amma by Amma unfinished, to have something in an Eshkachech Yerushalayim sign, to have something ultimately when you enter into your home that reminds you of the Churban, is exceptionally important. Something that reminds you of the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, this is how we pray. Amar Rav Chisda, can I get that Pesach? And that Amma by Amma, that square of Osei, unfinished space, has to be opposite the door. It's that when you walk in, you're able to see it immediately. Now, also, there's a machlokes aposkim there. Does can I get that Pesach mean opposite when you walk in, or does it mean on top of the doorway? So Osei, so that could mean, meaning when you walk in, it's directly by us. Machlokes aposkim. Osei Adam Kol Tzarech Yisudah. Under normal circumstances, we'll say a person makes a beautiful meal, but you should always leave something off your meal. Now, we'll say, here the Gemara is saying, Mahi, what does it mean to leave something off your meal? Amar Papa, Kasa Daharnasa. Now, we'll say, Kasa Daharnasa literally is a dish made from fish, really like fish innards, flour, and oil. So Gemara says, leave this off the menu. Now, that's not a great nisayon for most of us. Leave that off the menu. No problem. Got this one covered. Jose, but the idea of the Gemara saying is that when you make your su'uda, you don't go all out. You don't go all out with every single food, nor do you go ahead and bring out all of your beautiful utensils. You always hold back a little bit. Amazing enough, we actually just learned this halacha between Mincha Ma'ariv last night. The one exception to this rule, of course, is Leil HaSeder. Leil HaSeder is the one night where you don't have to hold back at all, both Alts menu as well as utensils, because it's a night of Cheirus. Osi Isha Kotach Shitem Sheres Badar Muat. A woman goes ahead and adorns herself with all kinds of adornments, but she shall leave off something from her adornments as well. Mahi, what should she leave off? Amarav Bas Sada. She leave off, we'll say Bas Sada literally means some type of, the Rashbam says, Sherigilus Lasucham Lahasir Saran. They used to remove some hair from the temple area. So a woman should not remove that hair from the temple area as a sign, ultimately, again, of Ra Delus for the Churban. Shneemar Imeshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yimini. Tidbak l'shoni l'chiki. As the pasuk says, I cannot, if I forget Yerushalayim, I should forget my right arm, my tongue should stick to its palate. So we'll say the idea being that I can never forget Yerushalayim. Maya rosh simchasi. What does it mean that I have to remember the destruction of Yerushalayim at the head of my simcha? Amrav Yitzchak, ze efer makla shorosh chasanim. This refers to the ashes that we put on the head of a chasan. Let's say efer makla, we put ashes on the head of the chasan right before the chuppah. Amrav papa la abaye, hecha manafle, where should should you put the ashes for the chasan? B'makom tefillin. You should put a tafkur he puts on his tefillin. Shene'emar, because the pasuk says, Lasum eveli tzion laseislam fe'er tachas efer. As the pasuk says, in Yeshayi, that Yeshaya says, that when Mashiach comes, we're going to give, for the mourners of Tzion, we're going to give them fe'er. Pe'er means a crown, tachas efer, underneath their ashes. So we'll say tefillin is also called the pe'er, it's called the crown. So we put the ashes, the efer makla, dafka on the place, a place of tefillin. V'chala mis'avil al Yerushalayim zochav rav simchas. And we'll say, whoever mourns for Yerushalayim will be privileged to see its simcha. Shene'emar, simchu es Yerushalayim. Tanya, we'll say an incredible yisod. If you mourn, you celebrate. If you share in the collective tzar of Klal Yisrael, then you will share in the collective simcha of Klal Yisrael. Tanya Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, v'yom shechara beis hamikdash. Dinhu, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha says, that in reality, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, our sadness is so intense that really we should be gozer, we should decree upon ourselves, shalalech basar, v'shal lishtos yayin, we shouldn't eat meat, we shouldn't drink wine, ella, in gozrin gzira ala tzibur, ella imkein, rov hatzibur yichon lamud bo. Was in reality, our avelo should be so intense that we shouldn't eat meat and we shouldn't drink wine. But we can't do that, because that's not an appropriate gzira for the majority of the tzibur. Umiyom shepashta machus harasha, shegozarsen gziras rovs v'kashos, umuvatalsmen ha'torah mitzos. And I will say, the day, from the day that the Romans, machus harasha refers to the Romans, from the day the Romans had begun to decree such terrible decrees upon us, and they prevent us from learning Torah and mitzvos, ve'in manachas asonali karas l'shavua ben, they do not allow us to engage. We'll say shavua ben refers to bris milah. They do not allow us to perform the mitzvah of bris milah. Ve'amri le yeshua ben, some say they do not allow us to perform the mitzvah pigyon ben. Dinhu shenigzor al atzmenu shalalisa isha ulaholid banim. We'll say, so here the Gemara is saying over here that sometimes the pain of the Jew from persecution is so intense that they literally just want to throw in the towel. They don't let us learn Torah. They don't let us learn Mitzvah. We'll say, you know, again, circumcision was under the penalty of death. Pigyon HaBen under the penalty of death. And sometimes, this Yitzhar to what Rabbah say, just throw in the towel. What is the point? What is the point of marrying? What is the point of being married a family? What is the point of putting in efforts into a family if at the end of the day we can never self-actualize? So sometimes there's Yitzhara just to give in the table. But we can't do that. Why? V'nimtza zaro shel Avram Avinu kala me'ilo. Because if we do that, we'll say, what happens? If we do that, what happens? It's the end of the story. It's the end of the journey. And remember again, the Jew always has to find that dialectic of mourning and movement. We mourn, but Rabbi said, no matter how intense the pain is, we always move forward. Ella, hanach lehem liYisrael, mutav shiu shogin vayinu mazidin. Rabbi says, this is a very strange ending. Rather, let the Jews do what they do. Right? Let the Jews do what they do. Better for them to be shogigin, to be accidental sinners, and not to be mazidin. Rabbi said, what does that mean? So Rabbi said, what that means is the following. At the end of the day, what Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha is lamenting is that no one really appreciates the full profundity of the Churban. And people are going about their lives just without the full measure, without feeling the full pain of the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shmuel says, you know what? It's better for people to go through life not feeling the full measure of pain, but continuing to accomplish, than feeling the full measure of pain and being paralyzed. We'd rather than not feel the full measure of pain and continue to accomplish than to feel the full measure of pain and to be paralyzed. That's what Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha is teaching us. Is at the end of the day, sometimes it sounds like a strange thing, better to mourn less and move more than to mourn more and move less. Because the nitzchias, the true eternality of Klal Yisrael, is our ability to grow, our ability to accomplish, our ability to continue our movement even in the face of the most dire of circumstances. We should be zocher Rabbosai Mirat Hashem to be able to actualize this lesson in our personal lives, in our national lives, and halavai natzchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the bayis shlishi, the Melech HaMashiach, Mihira B'Yameinu, Amen, Hadron Alon, Cheska Sabatin. Shkoyach.